Good morning.
Good morning, Shah.
How are you doing, Dottie?
I am doing just great.
Good. Great. Somebody else is on with us.
Good morning, Shah. It's Joe in Colorado.
Good morning. You've changed locations again on me, Joe.
Yeah.
Colorado. Okay. I hope you had a good trip over.
Yes, we did.
Good.
Good morning.
Somebody else is on. I'm sorry.
Good morning. This is Lee.
Lee, good morning. How are you down there? Is it smoky Southern California?
Oh, we haven't got the smoke. We're down far enough south that we don't get it.
You're not getting it down there. Well, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
To say the least, huh?
Yeah. It's been pretty bad.
Who else is here with us? People busy getting ready to leave the house and do the next activity of the day. Beginning of the day. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Leilana.
Leilana, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. Good. I think all of you guys so far should have gotten my email last time I tried to send it out.
The research email, you mean?
Yes, uh-huh.
Thank you very much for that.
And everybody could open it, I think.
Yes.
I know it got repeated, but it was kind of my test to, as I was putting more people on. I know there's some more that came in yesterday that I didn't get resent to those. I won't resend it to you guys every time I send it to the new ones. Okay, people, I think are listening to it on the recording and asking for it. So, yeah, that was a very popular call.
Mm-hmm.
Julia's got so much good information.
Well, Shah?
Yes.
I had the China study this weekend, and I was just glancing through some things, and I never read the dark side of science, that end part.
Uh-huh.
I finished the book, but apparently I didn't, because I highlight things when I go through it. And, boy, it was quite interesting to find out how, you know, how everything is governed by the food industry and the drug industry. And, I mean, I knew things were happening, but not in detail, like Dr. Campbell actually went into more detail.
Yeah, he makes it come alive, if nothing else.
Yes, for sure. And I started reading this book called The Touch, and it was all about this doctor that believed in having that personal touch when you went to see him, or making the house calls and doing things like that. And I'm like, between the Dr. Campbell and starting to read that book was like, wow. He's at home, opens your eyes.
Yeah, there are doctors out there that want to do that, and some that do that, but it's not the way they're taught nowadays, and it's not the norm. So,
yeah, and these big corporations that own these doctors' business, and they're governing how the healthcare is being run, even in the office that you go for just a checkup, which it just appalls me. I'm like, boy, oh boy, this country is just not, I don't know what's wrong with that. They're trying to be too technical and not having that personal touch.
Well, no, it's about money. That's the big, reason. You know, it's all governed by how much there is to be made on it, and where's the time spent, and where's the money going to come in at it. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the bottom line when you're talking about the end part of it. So we've had some other people join us. Who else has come on?
Molly just come on, and I'm going to mute myself today.
Okay. Good to hear you, Molly.
Thank you.
Good morning, this is Darlene.
Good morning, Darlene.
I've been cooking with the pots and pans and making noise today.
You're rattling the cookware, huh? Okay.
And bending cookware.
Making things happen. That's good. That's very good. Anyone else? Good morning.
Hi, this is Linda Brown from Vancouver.
Good morning, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I have to purge my system, though, now. I spent a week in Las Vegas, and it's difficult when you've got to eat all your meals out.
Well, it's not as much fun, I can certainly say that.
I think
I'm making decisions based on whether or not I'm going to have cooking facilities when I go places, especially when it's a week or 10 days. I just, I have to really think twice about whether I really want to do it that bad or not.
Right.
That's what mine came down to the other day. I was asking the question, is there a kitchenette or any kind of cooking facilities? And the answer was no, and Denny just shook his head. He goes, uh-uh. He didn't want to live through it.
I always assume that they have them where we stay at condos. But this time they didn't have that, so.
At a condo and they didn't have it, huh? Yeah. They vary. I guess we need to ask the question. I tried to have my second run at the little Mexican hole in the wall that I went to about a week before, cook without oil or no oil. Well, it was probably a little bit less, but it was not anywhere close to no oil. So I'm going to have to work on them. I'm going to have to say dry griddle, I guess.
Yeah.
And make it sound kind of like they'll probably look at me and go, oh, how do we do that? Oh. Anyone else?
This is Brenda in California.
Brenda, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to touch on a minute what Dottie was talking about. Certainly in our day, doctors made house calls, but it's just so much more efficient for the patients to go to them. If they were still making house calls, how many people could they see in a day? And I'm not even talking money, really. If you want to get into a doctor, sometimes you can't get in for a week. So you can imagine what it would be if they were making house calls to all of their patients. It would be a month. So in that respect, I think that it is a good thing that they've gone to the office format.
It sure wouldn't happen every seven minutes like I heard some of them are scheduled.
Well, just because they're scheduled doesn't mean that that's how much time you actually get on either end, actually.
Right.
You sit there for an hour or two waiting for them. Yeah. I think that there has to be a balance. You have to find the doctor who does give you the time that you want and need. But, yeah, money does definitely enter into it.
Well, I know some of them that have walked out of their renewing their contract, whatever it was, in clinic situations where the pressure was so great that they, just said, I cannot do this any longer. The more I think about it, and of course, that was getting connected with NECAN, and seeing that there were other options even for treating that could be brought in, and then realizing that, I think what happens often is they move into it so gradually over time as it's gotten worse and worse and worse for them, harder, that, as things happen, they don't realize it necessarily right then until all of a sudden something happens, and they go, wait a minute. This isn't what it was all about for me. So, that side of it, again.
And their heyday of making, tons of money is definitely over for the average internist. The surgeons are still doing okay. But, the average internist puts in a very long day, and he is not compensated like the other fields. So, just my two cents.
Yes. Well, it's not that we're coming down on all the doctors, for Pete's sakes, we need the doctors, but it's that their field has changed significantly over the years, as well as everything else. So others have joined us, I think.
Rebecca,
good morning.
Good morning.
Good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I was away for a couple of days.
And, okay, for weekend activities, guys, what have you had, I got a scratch here. What have you had happen over the weekend that was, okay, I'm going to try something different here. Well, it's not my headset that was doing it, I can tell that, but we'll see what happens here. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. That just said hello, I want, oh, there we go.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's my phone. It's sitting still on the table right now. In and out. Okay, so, over the weekend, something that you became aware of, you had an aha, something happened. The last two or three people that came in, if you, maybe you can't hear it. You can star 6 and see if it goes away. Oh.
That went away.
Just run in and out on star 6 if that was your button that you hit. Anyway, we appreciate it. And I suppose you were just ready to say something when you hit your star 6. We'll live through it when you're talking. Anyone have an aha or a new thought or something that came up over the weekend?
This is Brenda Shar.
Yeah.
I was poking around, going to my email, and on Yahoo they have different subjects. Well, I clicked on one about food, and Chef MD's Big Book. I hadn't heard of it. It's probably popular. Have you heard of it?
Repeat it again.
Chef MD's Big Book. That's what it's called.
Chef MD?
Chef MD's Big Book of Culinary Medicine.
Okay, so there's an S in the middle there.
Chef MD apostrophe S, Big Book of Culinary Medicine.
Big Book of Culinary Medicine.
What's the MD?
I didn't write it down.
Oh.
But they had a warm-body quinoa cinnamon recipe on there that looked good, but what caught my attention was a quote that he had said, I suppose, in his book, and I wrote it down because it's good, and it says, I have begun to rethink the kitchen in much the way I think of a health spa.
Okay, I have, say that, please. Repeat.
I have begun to rethink the kitchen in much the same way I think of a health spa, a place where people can come to restore, feel better, experience pleasure, and become healthier. Your kitchen is the heart of your health.
Wow. I can't write that back.
Question that to Mary Lou so that we can all have it and not struggle to write it down now.
Yeah, I thought
that would be great.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear it once more?
Yes.
Once more. I have begun to rethink the kitchen in much the same way I think of a health spa, a place where people can come to be restored, feel better, experience pleasure, and become healthier.
That is incredibly...
And he says, your kitchen is the heart of your health.
Whoa.
That is really good. I would like that hanging in my kitchen.
That's exactly what I thought. Paint it on the wall above the cabinets or something.
And calligraphy.
Okay, all we have to do is one person type up and attach it as an email. Okay. So if you CC me, when I get a chance to sit down at the computer, because I doubt that Mary Lou was able to get on this morning. She had a really busy weekend. I would go ahead and punch it out. Well, Nancy can do it too in calligraphy, but anyway, if you'll email, put my email address on there, DennyShar@comcast.net, I'll take a look and see if I can't get it down a little faster than what I've been doing now that I've got internet hooked up again. And my emails are coming through from Mary Lou, so I'm grateful.
Let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. Thank you for these.
I really like that. That is a fun one.
It was on my mind all weekend after I read it. It made coming in to cook more fun.
It definitely would, and it certainly makes a statement to the people that come through your kitchen, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just, that's absolutely great. That would be a fun little phrase to have at the bottom of your... email for us foodies, as I have seen that term a lot lately. It just keeps popping up every place, and I wasn't trying to just jump on the bandwagon of it. I just used it once and didn't think much about it. Great thought, great comment, great quote.
And even the last...
That website? Was that the website?
I don't know. I found it on Yahoo. You might... look into Yahoo where they have the newsletters. They probably still have it.
Okay.
Under all the digging before I found it, though. So,
okay.
Under all the 10 foods that you should eat. And
10 foods to eat. Okay.
You know, even that last statement and that quote is just so true, too. If you just think, no matter what I cook in my kitchen, it's the center, what was that, the heart of my health?
The heart of your health.
It's the heart of your health. So whether it's healthy cooking or unhealthy cooking, it still is the heart.
So that was your kitchen is the heart of your health?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the choices we make.
Yes, it is.
Still writing here, guys. Okay, so a few more people have joined us. Would you like to say hi this morning?
This is Rebecca. I just had to get off because a truck went past and it made too loud. So I just clicked on again.
Well, we didn't hear it. So.
Well, that's because I put the receiver down real quick and called again.
Saw it coming, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're up to the beginning of another week, guys. Well, I think since... we've got such a great group here. If there's anyone brand new, you're wondering why this call is taking place. This is the Advanced Lifestyle. Oh, and this is Star Rogers today hosting it. And we are looking at ways of improving our health. Grateful for all the incredible technologies Ken has given us. And that last, what goes in that opening on our face as to how it can affect total health of our bodies. And we discovered some remarkable things from the China study a little over a year ago when we began going through that. And myself trying to disprove it at the beginning because it's a little different than what the way we were eating, that there was no disproving it. It's like we've heard said by many of the leaders, it is what it is. The facts are the facts. There is no disputing them. When you feed your body a plant-based diet, a lot of the diseases, all the major ones that we talk about in this country, don't have the same percentage effect that it does on the sad American diet, or even on what I was considering, and that's a plant-based diet. 880 million people were studied in China in the early 70s as to why some were contracting or developing cancer. That's where it started, and they found out it wasn't only cancer, it was part autoimmune diseases, including diabetes, and many, many others. So anyway, in those categories, so anyway, we have adopted that way of being and are here to answer questions and exchange information, all of us. Anything else over the weekend? We got a little bit of a scratchiness here on somebody's mind. I have been intrigued with a book, Veganomics,
Veganomican. V-E-G-A-N. And I think instead of probably saying vegan, it should probably be vegan, like vegetable. And then O-M-I-C-O-N, the ultimate vegan cookbook, however we want to say the word. And quite a bit of definition and lots of little tips. And the one I'm going to give you this morning that's really, really simple is a pancake recipe that I found absolutely delightful. I hope it's in this one now that I'm saying it. Yes, here it is. And as I was going through that, I guess the recipe, as I was eating them, I have a tip for you this morning. Ever want to have a little bit of sweetness with your pancakes, and then you tip the pitcher or the bottle, and you've got all the syrup in one spot, and it's totally saturated, soggy, extremely sweet, and not what you wanted to accomplish? Well, somehow, accidentally, I found a way of controlling that, and that's before you put your pancake on your plate, try taking 1 teaspoon of syrup and moving it around on your plate. Now, what we were using, I could use maple syrup, but I wanted a flavored, so I used the Torontis, which are the simple sugar syrup that they put in coffee drinks. And I discovered one more thing is that there's a big difference between the brands. One of them that I had been using starts first ingredient with high fructose corn syrup. The other one that was the original, the Torontis syrup, which was the original brand from Italy, and when I first started, there was a really big explanation how it's family-owned. The barrels of flavored syrups are imported from Italy and then bottled in this country. They take a vacation for 2 weeks out of the summer, where they absolutely close down, and if they don't have enough supply here, they're going to run out. That was years and years and years back. So I found that one uses just a simple, plain old sugar, and if I'm going to have my choice between the two, it's not going to be high fructose corn syrup. It's going to be plain, ordinary sugar. When I broke that down to 1 teaspoon on my plate, I am talking about under 3 carbs. So that's a pretty insignificant amount. Now, when I look at the other brand that's with the high fructose corn syrup, it averages out to just under 4 carbs. Now, the average person is not using 1 teaspoon. They're using probably a few tablespoons. So for a teaspoon, multiply that by 3, or if you look at what they recommend and you look at it as 1 ounce is a serving, that is 2 tablespoons, and that's going to be multiplied by, 6 teaspoons. So then you're up by 3 times that carbs to 18. So there's a pretty significant difference. And of course, if you saturate it in one place, you don't want the rest of your pancake dry, so you've got to go over that too. So what I was trying to do was come to a way of showing my grandchildren how they could do with a whole lot less than having a huge puddle left on their plate, let alone what got soaked up into the pancake. So that's a real technical way of looking at adding something sweet to your pancake if you're not just adding straight fruit. Am I right?
I just had a question
that yes.
came to my mind. What would happen if you added some stevia to your pancake recipe? Would that not give you the sweet that you're looking for, and you wouldn't even have to use this syrup?
You can.
It'd be drier.
Actually, what I have done, Nancy, is the recipes I have been using have a little bit of maple syrup, and you could definitely spike that with stevia and add some of that. The stevia is not going to give the same flavor as the maple syrup, that's for certain. But it definitely would do that, and that's a great idea.
It just popped into my mind.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it'll be dry, so I don't know how you can get around that.
Right, but just a little extra moisture in there in the form of, you know, water, or if you're using soy milk or whatever as your base.
Applesauce.
Pardon?
Applesauce.
Applesauce. I had raspberries in the ones that I made it. The recipe called for blueberries. I used raspberries because we had fresh raspberries out of the garden. But, you know, whatever you're using it in that place, it will work.
Hmm.
And I just opened the book to the wrong page here when I thought I got the... I got blueberry brownies instead of the... pancakes, yeah.
What's the name of that book again?
It's Veganomicon, Vegan, and then O-M-I-C-O-N, Omicon. And it's by Issa Chandra Moskowitz. Now, she's done several. Issa is I-S-A, and then Chandra, C-H-A-N-D-R-A, and the last name is M-O-S-K-O-W-I-T-Z. Sorry, I butcher some of the words here. That's not the easiest thing for me, is pronouncing those kinds of tongue twisters. Okay, now I still don't have the...
Did you find this at a bookstore or online?
I'm trying to remember. I picked that up while we were traveling.
Mm.
It had to have been on in a bookstore. It's a fairly good size book, but the paper is thick, and the only colored pictures are in the center where it features or shows some of the recipes. I think I lost my tab or away. Maybe I put it in on the side. No, that can't be it. Anyway, I've got the page number now. I will flip to it.
Is there an index in the back?
Huh?
Is there an index in the back?
Yes, there is.
That really helps in some of these books.
Yeah, I had written down the page number. Oh, I put the tab inside on the page because I was writing on it. That's why I couldn't see it. Okay, these are blueberry corn pancakes is the way it was. They were addressed on the recipe. One bowl of dry ingredients, you put three-fourths of a cup of flour, half a cup of cornmeal. And out from that, you might want to write, I used a fourth of a cup of medium grind cornmeal, which is what they make polenta out of, a little coarser, and a fourth of a cup of fine. I wasn't sure which one I'd like best, so I decided I wouldn't go full bore on either one. If you were going to do one, I would say probably the fine, which is just your regular that you would bake with, because the other has enough texture that it's really kind of crunchy in there, which I liked. It gave a texture to it. Then 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 2 tablespoons of any kind of an oil, whether it be grapeseed or coconut oil, would be either of those would be my choice. And that is so that it, in part, does not stick to the griddle. 1 1/4, okay, that's in the dry bowl. So just combine that in another bowl. Combine 1 1/4 cups of soy milk, 1/3 cup of water, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, and then it's got 2 teaspoons of grated lemon zest. And you stir the wet and pour into the dry. And you're done. Preheat your griddle there and throw your blueberries in, 1 cup of fresh blueberries, and something to keep the pan from sticking, or if you're still using nonstick, do that. If you're using our cookware, I would put just a little bit of spray, veg spray, in the bottom of the pan, and it'll work. A griddle needs very, very little. I mean, just a hint to keep it from sticking. And it's basically the berries. The raspberries were softer, of course, than the blueberries would have been. And so there was a little bit more there. And you don't have to worry if you don't over stir it. It can be lumpy, a bit lumpy when you start in to pour because it'll all break up. But it was I really like the texture of it. Daniel hasn't even had a chance to try them yet because he was on the run yesterday morning. But that's how I discovered pouring a teaspoon of a thinner syrup on my plate, moving it around with my fork, and then putting my hot pancake in the middle of it, and works out absolutely wonderful. And I was using a raspberry flavored syrup, and then I did try the pomegranate flavored syrup. So you can find those syrups, the Tirantes, in the coffee section of the restaurants of the grocery stores that are fairly large. They will have those because people are using them for their drinks, Italian sodas and coffees. Depending on what part of the country you're in, they're more prevalent, of course. Questions? Did everybody get that down that wanted it?
Could you run over the first part of it again for me?
I sure can.
Most of them, but my pen is best.
I'll just read the amounts. Okay, the dry is a fourth of a cup of 3/4. Print is very tiny on these fractions here. 3/4 of a cup of flour, 1/2 a cup of cornmeal, 2 teaspoons of baking powder.
I thought it was 2 tablespoons.
No, teaspoons. If I said tablespoons, sorry. No, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and that's in the dry bowl. And then in the wet bowl is 2 tablespoons of oil, 1 1/4 cups of soy milk, plain soy milk they've got in here, 1/3 of a cup of water, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 2 teaspoons of maple syrup.
Teaspoon or table?
2 tablespoons. Thank you.
I just wanted to be sure I have it right.
Yeah, no, that was me. 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, and then 2 teaspoons of grated lemon zest. I was already down the next line when I said that. My eyeball. Okay, and then pour the wet into the, swish it around, pour the wet into the dry, and fold in, just move it around just enough to moisten everything, and then add a cup of fresh blueberries, or in my case it was raspberries, a little spray on the griddle, and, or pan, and you're off doing your pancakes, and then use your... Now, what I would have preferred doing, except there was already berries in there, normally I do apple slices, saute apple slices, usually. I've done a bunch of them in the freezer, baked them for 20 minutes, bagged them, and then froze them, just baked them with cinnamon, no sweetener on them at all, but the fruit will give it enough sweetness for me. Now, this depends on where you are with that, if you need to add something to it to make it palatable. The less you use as you go through doing this, especially with the additions, the more you're going to taste the fruit and the goodness of the grains that you're putting together. So it's a gradual process in your taste buds changing. And a side note, a little different but similar, I had cooked up a rhubarb sauce 3 weeks ago at least, and threw some blackberries in, and all I used for sweetener was stevia. I had no sugar in it whatsoever. Just brought the sweetness to the point where it cut the tartness, and I was tasting the fruit. Well, 3 or more weeks later, that jar had gotten smaller and smaller as I moved it to something, you know, that was more the size of what was left, and it was in a pint jar, and there was still about 1/2 pint in there. Nothing was wrong with it. Now, I don't know to what degree the stevia, because of its natural ingredients, could act as a natural preserver. but I just went in and downloaded on Amazon.com for 49 cents a book. Let me walk over and get it because I didn't plan on giving you this, but I want to since it's right here and it's on my mind. That's entitled, I found it in a catalog, an Azure catalog, where I ordered my grains and so forth, and it's called Preserving Food Without Freezing or Canning. Traditional techniques using salt, oil, sugar, alcohol, vinegar, drying, cold storage, and lactic fermentation by the gardeners and farmers of Centenary Vivanti was the author of it. And I was trying to order it, and I couldn't get it. Well, little did I know, they call it Amazon Shorts. Well, the book was, $12 to $15. They were out of stock, and then I noticed they were not out of print, but out of inventory. The Azure was out of stock, or out of inventory, they said, and on Amazon, I think it said they were out of stock on it also. So anyway, and then I saw it says download, and guess what the price was? 49 cents. It's 24 pages long is all. And so I downloaded and printed it within 2 minutes, and I haven't had a chance to read it. It was way too late when I did it last night. But I thought that was kind of interesting because I was curious because of traveling in Europe a year ago last October and seeing that they do totally different things and ways of preserving that, you know, we would just say would be bizarre and totally dangerous. I mean, my gosh, you could get food poisoning. And they've been doing it for centuries and centuries. So anyway, I'm anxious to just take a look and see what they have to say. It doesn't mean I have to do it, but be informed. So,
is it possible for you to share that with us?
For 49 cents?
Well, tell us how to get to it.
Oh, it was Amazon.com, and all I did was type in the title, Preserving Food Without Freezing or Canning. That's all I typed in. And it's called Amazon Shorts. And I don't know why they would take it off of there. It said one, but, you know, download one. They didn't even, it didn't even show, I don't even think the chart showed up at the end when I finished out my order with Amazon. So, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. If you don't find it there, I guess I'll try and figure out something else. But anyway, I just thought that was so incredibly rewarding to discover something so simple and so little. So obviously a lot of these short books, other books must be listed on there too. It would be more like a pamphlet,
mm-hmm.
You know, the size. And of course each page has some pretty good size print on it, but the rest of the print is just, maybe it's spaced a little further apart, so there isn't a lot. But anyway, it was quick and easy. Questions on anything or comments from anybody that this may have led them down another avenue?
This is Brenda. One thing that I had always done, instead of pouring the syrup under the pancake with my kids growing up, I would have them pour a teaspoon to a tablespoon on the edge of their plate. And as they ate their pancake, they would just barely dip the pancake in the syrup.
The question is barely dipping it. I tried that with my grandchildren in the first bite. Took the whole
top it all up. Well, it doesn't have time to soak up the syrup that way, though. It drips off.
Depends on how much they swish it around. I've got kids that some of mine in the past now they're doing really great. But when I'm thinking of my oldest son, actually, when he got anywhere near where there was anything sweet, he could get it down really fast.
He could eat it all.
The other two they were not that way nearly as much, and to this day it's still the same scenario. And talk about transfer over to the family. It definitely does. That environmental, you can see the difference. But I am grateful that they're the ones that live across the street, and I had three of them in here yesterday, and they were my test kitchen again, and they did incredibly well. I'd made a visit to the Asian market, so at Molly's hotspot here, but went through there, decided that Saturday or Sunday is not the day to go to the Asian market in Portland anyway. They were so busy. Anyway, it was, they were so excited to hear when they came in that I had been to the Asian market. They wanted to see all that I got and sample all that I got. And I got red dates, which the grandson made the mistake of saying he was the oldest of the three in here, but the youngest of the three grandsons. He said, oh, it tastes kind of like a raisin. Well, at that point, the youngest granddaughter, who's five, picked it up and just eyeballed it. She wasn't about to put it in her mouth because she had informed me the day before there's one thing she can't tolerate, and that's raisins in anything. And so anyway, she still did her taste test. And, you know, you can play games, and I've talked about this before. She had made such a fuss about that little piece of date that I had cut off for her because I know how she is. And it was about, oh, probably a quarter of an inch wide, the piece that I had given her, and about the size around of your thumb and at the most. And she still was just eyeballing it. She wasn't about to put it in her mouth. And so I said, okay, if you can't do that little piece, I'll make them really, really tiny for you. So I chiseled off a piece of the next thing that I had for them to try, which was kind of like a sticky sesame candy, it was. But it was put together with, I can't remember, they're brown sugars. They don't call it brown sugar. They call it something else. Anyway, and I chiseled off a piece that was not much bigger than a sesame seed. And I said, now, is this going to be small enough for you to sample and you can actually put it in your mouth without holding it and looking at it for 5 minutes? And, of course, the other two grandchildren just laughed and laughed. And she had to laugh because it was, you know, pretty humorous. And so she finally popped the red date in and rolled it around and chewed it and swallowed it. I said, good girl, now at least you can say you tried it. And, you know, the next time then it's easier, you know, when you make it fun and everybody has a laugh about it to do it. So,
was the date fresh or dry, Char?
It was dried, oh. Yes, it was dried. And, you know, they look different because we're just not used to seeing. It was a dark burgundy color.
But it was sweet, I'll bet, right?
But it was sweet. Oh, yeah. It was like just like a date, except that it, you know, had a little bit different texture and smaller. And there was another fruit there that was the other reason we never even got to them. I'd forgotten about them. Today I'll get the group down here, and the two girls will be reminding me, Grandma, didn't you get fresh lychees when you went there this time? Because I'd forgotten to give them any yesterday. They had another fruit that came from Florida, and I can't remember the name of it, that was smaller than a lychee, and it was not prickly looking on the outside with the little pointies, and it was smooth. And so when I was checking out, there was some at the end of one of the aisles, and I said to the young lady that was checking out, I said, now, what is that? And they were on a stem, and they were like almost like clusters of grapes, but a very dry...
I know exactly what you're talking about. I just unmuted myself, Sarah. This is Manny. It's called long yam. By translation, when you open it up, it is look like a dragon's eye. Long means dragon, and yam means eye. Dragon's eye.
Oh, yes, it would. It is very similar to the lychee.
Yeah, I like that much better than the lychee.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's basically the canned good. The canned good of lychee, it doesn't taste good at all. And I occasionally use canned long yam. So that's good.
But I found there wasn't nearly as much
flesh on it as there was on the lychee. On the
That's right. But the sweetness is so different.
It's different.
Quite sweet than the lychee.
It's close in texture to the lychee, but different in the flavor. I agree.
Yeah, I can eat it.
I think those were $4.95 a pound, and the lychees were $2.95. So that was a determining factor with the way my grandkids are going through them. The lychees, I thought, well, I'll give that experience to them when they're actually in the store. And I asked the season if any of you want to experience this. I know we're getting into details here, but look up an Asian market that's close in your area, because the time frame is about a month running on the peak season for, I think, both of them. Anyway, at least in our area, that's what I was told. So they enjoy these things, and, you know, it's really expanding their, broadening their culinary experiences.
Tell them it's a dragon eye. They're eating dragon eyes. The eyes of a dragon.
Eyes of a dragon. Well, that's a really, see, I don't remember that on the sign. Next to it, there was a dragon fruit that looked like a dragon. When you look at the, it was oval, more like a small mango. And they had lots of mangoes, guys. Very, very inexpensive and wonderful looking. And papaya. Got mangoes and papayas there, too.
A papaya, but you do have to pick the one that's already orange color, so that they don't take so much time to get it right.
To get the flavor.
Otherwise, if it is a lot of time, you need to get it right. By the time it's ripened, the outer part or spots, a lot of spots are already rotten.
Okay, good advice. Now, the only difference would be if you're making a recipe that calls for green papaya like you do with mango, green mango.
Yeah, salad or soup, we use the one that's not the ripe one. Otherwise, I wait until it's ripened to eat it raw.
Okay.
Isn't papaya supposed to be sweet?
Yes, but is it ripe?
I tried it one time, and I said never again. It was expensive, and it didn't have any taste.
Well, if you don't let it ripen, it would be very bland. I remember the digestion capsule you can use to have that has a papaya on the outside.
Yeah, I know. This one was already cut, and it was orange on the inside, and it looked delicious. And then when I brought it home, it just had no taste. And I thought, well, that's not worth the money.
How long ago was that, Nancy?
It's been a couple years.
Okay, your taste buds may be completely different. The first time I started eating papaya, I wouldn't have given you 2 cents for it either.
Oh.
And I'm not sure I had the ripeness I should have had, but you compare a papaya to a mango, they're about opposite ends of the spectrum. Gotten to the point now where in the morning I want papaya, later in the day I want mango.
Interesting.
I would never have ever dreamed that, but I like it not so sweet, things in the morning, even with my fruit. So, or even at lunchtime, I'll do it for in the salad. But I can easily eat it now, where before I wouldn't have, you know, like I said, I just wouldn't have given it the time of day as far as repeating it for a fruit.
Okay.
Guys, I am going completely overboard here again. Any comments, questions?
Shaw, how many pancakes does that make?
Oh, let's see. It says 8 to 10.
Small ones or?
Yeah, well, I made bigger ones, so I didn't get 8 to 10 out of it. I think I got, I probably did get close to 8. No, probably 7 out of mine. They were good enough size.
Probably enough for 2 or 3 people, though, right?
Yeah. What we normally do is I make that size of a batch, and I can squeeze enough out for 2 breakfasts for us
if we don't go overboard on the pancakes. And that, I mean, we're satisfied, let's put it that way. And I'm using more fruit with it because I'm putting fruit on top of it normally. But they warm up wonderful the next day or 3 days later. You can do that. And that's what I do. You can put them in a toaster oven, or you can, you know, if you still have a microwave in the house, you can zap them too.
Have you frozen them yet?
I have, but they don't last that long around our place. I've done it, but I don't make a habit of doing it because within the week, Denny will pull them out and have them for breakfast another morning. So they're really good. We usually do pancakes once a week, so I'm still trying lots of new recipes, even though I've got my favorites. But one of my favorites, which was an oat base, I don't remember what book it came out of right now. So it's not been repeated.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Guys, I know we got to go to work, even if it's just having breakfast. Any comments, others? Okay, I'm just going to say, if you found anything that was useful, share it with a friend. People come back across your path. We've had three examples this weekend I have of people that have come back from sometimes a long time back, and you just never know what seeds you've planted. And so make it a wonderful day. And thank you for the sharing that I feel like I'm getting hoarse just from talking too much. Obviously, I didn't give you enough chance to share. So, anyway, have an absolutely beautiful day.
Great call, Char. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.